Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The dream is made real. Ricky Hatton rocks the world.
How do you like it? How do you like it?
Wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
It's over. Mamma mia, he's done it. Anthony Joshua defeats Vladimir Klitschko.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Welcome back, fight fans, to another big fight preview for this weekend's action. And it's headlined by Gervonta Davis versus Rolando Rolly Romero. A great fight this weekend. Really excited to talk about Gervonta Davis. We've got some thoughts, feelings and opinions about what's happening for him outside of the ring and what potentially could happen inside the ring as well. But also on the same card, we've got a really, really good fight between Erislandy Lara and Spike O'Sullivan getting another title shot. I'm not too sure how he's got his way into contention for this fight, but he is actually fighting Erislandy Lara for the WBA World Middleweight title. And then you've also got Otto Wollin, who's fighting this weekend. Someone else to talk about and mention throughout the course of this episode. But it is a relatively quiet weekend for boxing. There are a few small hall shows across the UK, but nothing too significant that will make us want to discuss some of the major fights going on over this weekend. So I'm probably going to say we'll start the show just sort of mentioning some of these shows across the UK. There's a good show in Wales, and I think I've got to do all the Welsh boxing fans and the Welsh listeners a bit of credit here, because it is actually on BBC Wales, and it's headlined with Joshua John versus Mark McKeown, Jake Tinklin versus Lloyd Germain, a really good undefeated welterweight Welsh area title clash, Morgan Jones versus Jerome Warburton, again another Welsh area title clash on there, and many of the prospects that are going in against the journeyman on that particular show. So for all you Welsh fight fans out there, that'll be like your sort of like Christmas come early for you guys. It's a great little show that's going on, but I'm going to jump straight into the big fight this weekend then, Johnston. Let's get into it. Let's talk about Gervonta Davis and Rolando Romero. Fellow undefeated fighter, 14-0, gets his shot at the WBA World Lightweight title, or should I say the WBA regular version of the lightweight title. The current main version, or super version, is actually held at the moment by George Kambosos Jr., who's fighting Devin Haney. Now, Gervonta Davis has mentioned on social media in the past 24 hours that apparently this is going to be his last fight under Mayweather Promotions, and I'm going to allude to our patron-only episode that we've done for our patrons of the podcast. They wanted a episode on the boxing promoters over the past 12 months, and we brought to light, obviously, Mayweather Promotions and their only fighter, and it's Gervonta Davis. And it looks like now they're on the verge of losing him because he wants control of his own career. Before we get into a breakdown of this fight, what are you making of that since we've done that episode? I think this is a very good move from Gervonta Davis to actually come out and say, you know what, I want to affiliate myself with someone else that'll have a bit better promotion-wise, and also it gives me more creative control over what happens next for my boxing career.
And I think it's a really good move. It's a move that we've been saying that Davis sort of needed to do. He needed to get away from Mayweather. He had to. You know, the guy is just too self-centered, and he's not willing to work with any other promoters. He's just not good for Davies, who is one of the biggest names in box at the moment for me. He's not quite got himself going, but he's got huge potential, and he is more than capable of cleaning up this lightweight division, which is littered, absolutely stacked with some outstanding talent. And then he's going to now, this last fight against Romero, I mean, we'll go into it. I don't think it's going to be that that difficult for Davis, to be honest with you. But the fact of the matter is, he's going to be a free agent. It's almost like NFL. I mean, I don't watch NFL too much. I like the Super Bowl. I do sort of keep my eye on it. But it's like the draft picks, isn't it? When you have those draft picks at the sort of start of the new season or whatever it is. And if Geronte Davis was a draft pick, you'd have every one of those top sides, it'll be, he'll be a number one pick, surely. He really would be. And him being a free agent, he's going to have so many promoters sniffing around him. It's just a matter of, has he got enough people around him? I'm not quite sure if he has, that can help him make the right choice. Whether he goes to the PBC or he goes to a Mayweather rival in Golden Boy Promotions, who currently has Ryan Garcia in their trenches, and that's a potential fight for him down the line, who has fought on DAZN. Maybe moves over with Eddie to Matchroom, who obviously affiliates himself with DAZN. And you got Haney, that is fighting Cambosis Jr., and potentially there could be a big fight for him there. Or he goes to the PBC, who don't actually have anyone with a title in the lightweight division. So, I mean, I could sort of see him going the PBC route, but then I think that hinders his chances of getting big fights against Haney, Garcia, or Cambosis Jr., whoever wins that Haney Cambosis Jr. fight. Or even he goes Top Rank and he signs up with Bob Arum, and then you've got Lemonchenko there, and you've also got Lopez. So there's big fights for him, but it's just a matter of which one does he choose. I'm sort of siding with the fact that he probably go down the PBC route, but they like to do things in-house, and I think that might actually delay it, just like it is with Mayweather. I wouldn't be surprised if he did go with Golden Boy, to be honest with you.
There's plenty of options for him, and there's plenty of fights out there for him if he successfully comes through this fight, which we'll have our thoughts and feelings on that shortly. But, you know, ideally for me, he's got to look at the bigger picture and see, like, where can he make the most money, first and foremost? Where can he get the best fights? And it kind of narrows it down a little bit. You've got Eddie Hearn and Matchroom, who can provide him with probably a lot of money and some pretty good damn fights. Or you've got Top Rank, who could, again, like you mentioned, Lopez, you've mentioned Lomachenko. There's quite a few good fighters there that he can get in the ring with and further enhance where his career is at the moment. So it's exciting to see what happens next, and, you know, whether he does even affiliate with a promoter, whether he just, you know, he controls his whole own career. I mean, that happens, of course, you know, whether he looks at PBC, I don't know. We'll see, but it is a good talking point to start the episode off with Davis, because obviously he's only mentioned that in the last 24 hours, so I thought, you know, this is a great sort of conversation, and given the episode we've done on our Patreon membership service for boxing promoters, it kind of puts a little bit of things into perspective for us as to sort of where some of these promoters are, and obviously how some of these fighters, sometimes they're going to have to move around to be able to get their opportunities. And I think Davis, you know, the position he's in, he needs to do that. He needs to be putting himself in prime position to be fighting the best guys of the division. So his fight this weekend then, Johnson, against Rolly Romero, or Rolando Romero, I think he's still a good fight for him, because Romero actually has a really good name in Anthony Yigit on his record. He beat Yigit last year in July, and he won the WBA interim lightweight title as a result of that. So for me, you know, this is a guy who's at a level, he's proven himself. You get only having the one loss on his record, of course. And he's going in against a guy who obviously is undefeated, who has struggled in the past with weight and has obviously subsequently moved up to counteract the problems he's had. His last fight, in terms of Davis's fights, is against Isaac Cruz, who is an absolutely tenacious fighter. A really tenacious fighter. Made it a really close fight between the two. And then he's had that marquee victory over Leo Santa Cruz. He's beat Eucorius Gamboa. He's beat Hugo Ruiz, Liam Walsh 5 years ago, and Jose Pedraza he's beaten as well. So he's got some really good names on his record as Gervonta Davis. And I think this is a good way for him to continue to show that he's ready for the big boys in the lightweight division by getting a good victory. And I think we've got the unification fight coming up between Cambosis Jr. and Haney. And I think once we know the victor in that and whether Davis gets through this or not, then it'll determine whether that big fight can be made. I think Davis wants the winner of that fight, and logically so, but, you know, at the moment, he is only the regular WBA champion. So whether he'll be in with a shout for that is another question or not. So we'll have to wait and see what happens following this fight. But I think he's got a decent fighter in front of him, a fighter that I think maybe is getting the Davis fight a little bit too soon for his career, having only really beaten Yigit and not really beaten any other major notable names. And I think Gervonta Davis, we like his style. We've liked what he's done so far in his career. I think for him to win this fight, he doesn't need to really do too much differently than what he normally does. But he's got a confident opponent in front of him. I'm just wondering, what does Romero have to do to beat Davis? That is the bigger question for me.
Yeah, it's a good question. And Romero has been quite vocal about Davis, and he's got under Davis's skin a little bit, hasn't he? So whether that's a good thing from him or not, I'm not too sure, to piss Davis off, because he's a brute. He reminds me of like a really small Mike Tyson, the way he's sort of compacted and he launches in with his right hand, and when he does hit you, he hits you hard. And they're single shots though, more than anything. And Romero is a bigger guy. You know, he's actually looked really quite well built, the recent pictures I've seen of him. And I honestly think that Davis is just a level apart. The only suggestion is whether Davis has got, whether he's got his mind right and he's really concentrating on Romero. I think by pissing him off, I think he probably has. I think he's probably channeled that. If he'd have kept quiet a little bit, I think Davis may have gone into it a little less aggressive, because I think he's going to be very aggressive from the very first moment. And although Romero sort of said, I'm going to knock him out and stuff, he is a bigger guy, he's taller, and you will see a size difference. But Davis is just so compact and he's powerful. I just can't see this fight going beyond the halfway point at all. I mean, I could see this getting finished within 2 and 3 rounds, if I was being honest with you. If I was to put a bet down, I'd say 1 to 3 rounds. I think Davis gets rid of Romero, because I just don't think he's going to be able to withstand the power. But then maybe he may just sort of try and fight on the back foot. I think that's the only way. If he's going to do that, he's going to have to try and stay away from Davis and try and get through those early stages. And then later on in the fight, then try and put the pressure on Davis, where hopefully he might be a little bit fatigued. But I just don't see this fight going very far at all, Sean.
Well, there you go. You're being quite vocal about your opinions on this one. The fact that Davis is such a compact, aggressive fighter that Romero really doesn't, in your eyes, stand that great of a chance in beating Davis this weekend. And it's a fair assessment, Johnston. I mentioned the fighters on their resume for a reason, and it was because the resumes are completely different points. Davis, for me, is ready for a mega fight. And it's plain and simple. Whereas Romero, this is his second big fight, and it's an even bigger fight than the Yigit fight. And I don't think he's had the experience from the Yigit fight enough to fight someone like a Davis. And that's my opinion, and that's why I think he'll struggle in this fight. I think Davis is going to come at him. He's going to get on his chest. He's going to bully him. He's going to try and get him against the ropes, unload them combinations. And for Romero, has he got the power to keep Davis off? So far, from what I've seen in his career, I'm not so sure he has. Yes, he's obviously got some good victories.
Yep.
He's got some good victories, Johnston. I'll attest to that.
Yes, yeah.
But has he got the power to keep Davis off? And that's the questions that I'll be asking. You look at his knockouts in his career so far, and he's got a good resume. 12 knockouts out of his 14 fights. That suggests that, you know, he has got power. But at what level does that power carry up to? Does it carry up to a guy who has moved up in weight? You know, will Davis be affected by those punches, or will he be able to take them and just eat them up like the cereal? We'll get to see. And they're the they're the questions that we need answering, I suppose, from Davis's end. But I'm not discrediting Romero, and please don't think I'm discrediting him. I think this is a step too soon for him. That's my yeah. thoughts and feelings on it. Is this is a step too soon for him. If he puts on a good showing for a number of rounds, and he gets stopped later in the fight, early, whatever it is, then he can come back. He's 26 years of age. He can come back again. I think Davies is just at that level at the moment where I can't see many fighters, if anybody, at this moment beating him. And he's only a year older. So I think where Davis's career is at is further up the ladder than I think where Romero's is at. And I mean, people might just say I'm chatting a little bit here because I'm not giving Romero any credit. But I just kind of feel it's a point where you look at the fights they've had, you look at the resumes between the two of them, you look at the experience that there's the difference between them, and you think to yourself, well, Davis has got all that experience. He's been in the big marquee fights. He's beaten some really, really notable names, former champions, yes, in lower weight divisions, guys that are still active today that are potentially, off the back of Davis fights, going on to fight bigger fights. And I talk about Isaac Cruz. So for me, Johnston, I think Davis, in terms of this fight and how it plays out, I think he wins this fight. I think you're going for sort of like 1-3 in terms of rounds. I think I'll give Romero a little bit more credit, I think, because he's had that you get victory. I think it maybe goes a little bit further. But ultimately, I kind of agree with you in the sense that I think Gervonta Davis stops him. I think we get a really good couple of first rounds, and we might even see Davis get hurt by Romero, given that he has got evident power. But I think Davis has been to the mill before, and I think he knows now how to deal with situations like that, that them adverse situations that give you that character and that heart as a fighter. And I think Davis comes through this. I think I'm looking at the sort of the midway point, around maybe 6-7. I think Davis breaks him down, and I think he stops him. And then Romero comes away with it with a good showing and just puts his name into the mix a little bit more in that division. I think he's got a bit of a job to do going in there, but I think he's going to certainly try and do it. He's been very vocal. He's getting under the skin. It looks a little bit evident that he's getting under the skin. Maybe, just maybe, someone else could completely change the concept of that fight, and maybe we'll get a different fight. But I think both of us are sort of solidified in our opinions that I think Davis wins this fight, and he wins it in a good fashion, and we then start to talk about him fighting the winner of Kambosos versus Haney.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, to be fair, I mean, I'm not discrediting Romero, and you've made some great points there, because, you know, he had that Yigit fight. But yeah, I just think in terms of what I've seen from him, he's exposed at times. You know, if he was a bit more tucked in, a little bit more cute with his defense skill, then I would probably say I'd give him more of a chance. But I think, because defensively, I don't think he's all that. I think that's a dangerous thing when you're fighting somebody like Devin Haney. When you're fighting someone like Davis, who you've pissed off, and he's going to want to kill you. I think that just, it's a bad move from him. I think in the logic in my head is Romero's probably thinking, if I piss him off enough, he's going to want to try and knock me out. And I'm going to be on my toes. I'm going to keep away from him, because I'm going to be fresh early on, tie him out, and then put the pressure on him. That's a dangerous game, but I sort of think that's the game he's looking to play. I think he's too vulnerable. He's not like a Haney where he's, you know, defensively sound, as well as, you know, not absolutely sound, he gets hit, don't get me wrong, but he's much more tighter in his defense than, you know, all those guys on the top level of this division, whether it's Lamanchenko or even Lopez, Kambosos Jr. Like these guys are a lot more, I just think, because they've had a lot more knowledge and they understand the sport, and they, defensively, they're just better. I think that's the point I'm trying to make. And Romero, just for me, I've not seen anything that makes you think that he's going to withstand anything, apart from that he's a bigger guy. I think he will be bigger. He's going to be taller. He's going to be probably a bit wider. I think that if there is benefits, then I suppose his size, possibly if he tires Davis, he could. I mean, if he beats him, Sean, this will be the shock of the year so far for me.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's a good sort of ending statement to finalise our preview for this main fight this weekend, as it would probably be the shock of the year so far. So, undercard then. Main fight on the undercard. Chief support. Erislandy Lara, Spike O'Sullivan, Gary O'Sullivan getting another title shot. Again, I said it at the top of the show, I'm not too sure why he's getting it and how he's getting this title shot. But Erislandy Lara still going strong, still causing problems for absolutely everybody. And you look at the names he's been in the ring with in the super welterweight division. Now he's moved up to the middleweight division. And now obviously he's a world champion, getting that WBA vacant title against Thomas Lamana, KOing him in one round last May. So a year on, now he's fighting Spike O'Sullivan. I just don't understand how Spike's got this fight. Like, I like Spike. He's a good character. He's a good guy in general. But how has he got this fight? That's still beyond the realms of my knowledge as to how this has happened. Because every time he stepped up, Spike, he's lost to better fighters. Going back as far as when he fought Chris Eubank Jr. in 2015, he stepped up, he lost. He got that fight against David Lemieux, he lost. He got the fight against Jaime Munguia in 2020, he lost. And he lost by stoppage. So straight away, I think, no, Erislandy Lara, based on what he's doing in his career, even though he's at the ripe old age he's at, I still think he's got more than enough to make this a successful title defence against Spike. And Erislandy Lara is the guy now that's moved up to the middleweight division. He's become a champion in the middleweight division. And I still think he causes so many problems for some of the middleweight champions out there. I'd love to see him fight like a Golovkin. You know, Erislandy Lara versus Golovkin would be a great fight. Styles would be... Oh, I think they gel so well. I think we'd get such an entertaining fight. And with them both being older in their careers, I think that would make for a really great fight. I'm just not sure whether that happens now, because obviously Golovkin seems to be fighting Canelo in what could be his final fight, win, lose or draw. But Erislandy Lara, talented fighter. Spike Sullivan, definitely not at this level. What do you make of this fight?
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I'm a bit baffled by Gary O'Sullivan's got this chance. I mean, look, as you say, O'Sullivan's a nice chap. Yeah, I mean, I remember before when I've been on Twitter before, and he's replied to messages and stuff, and he's genuinely seems to be a nice guy. Everyone says some nice things about him, but you know, it doesn't win your boxing matches, does it? And when you think of Lara, no matter what, even at his age, yeah, he's a middleweight now, but he's so tricky. I mean, I've watched Lara for years and loved watching Lara, just how that beautiful stance and just the in and out, the way he can throw, put his punches together, and he's just such a clever fighter. And I know he's probably, you know, the speed isn't quite what it used to be, his power probably not, although, you know, he's knocking guys out in the middleweight division, obviously carrying the extra weight's helping him, but he's just too good. He's going to be too good for Gary O'Sullivan. I wasn't expecting him to knock out Lara, especially in the first round. It's not something he tends to do. But he, you know, whether this extra weight is helping him, and when he's landing them shots and he's following through with him, obviously it's taking effect on fighters. I mean, I would look at it and I'd say that Gary O'Sullivan will survive in this fight. I can't see him getting knocked out, but then again, I probably can. I mean, it's not beyond the realms of possibility, but I do think he's a bit of a boxing, just it's going to give him a lesson. And I think that's probably what you're going to see. He may even get stopped because he's just losing every single round. There's just no point in Gary Sullivan being there, because in terms of technical ability, he's way, way, way beyond. He's nowhere near someone like Lara.
No, I agree. I think it's, for me, it feels like an open and shut case. And like I say, and I've always said, I hate writing fighters off, but I think it's so hard not to write Spike O'Sullivan off. He has got power, I'll give him that. If he lands one and rocks Lara, if he can get near him, that is, then maybe we'll see a different fight. But that's about as far as I can kind of go with it. I honestly think Lara dominates this fight and possibly stops him a little bit later on down the line after an accumulation of punches or punishment. And I think that's how this fight goes down. Another big fight then on the undercard is 18-0 super welterweight. He's got 15 knockouts as well. Jesus Alejandro Ramos. And he's fighting Luke Santamaria on this particular card as well. I've seen a little bit of Ramos. I'll be honest, I've checked in to see what he's all about and see, you know, what he's done in his career so far. And he's obviously had some good step-ups from what I can see throughout the levels. But I think, you know, he's getting the step-ups at the right point now. I think being 18-0 with 15 knockouts, you know you need to start stepping up your level of opposition. He got a KO in his last outing against Vladimir Hernandez earlier on this year, and he's keeping himself active by going in there and fighting Luke Santa Maria. And then you look at the super welterweight division, you know, for someone who's had this many fights, you're expecting him to be up there, you know, with the likes of Erickson Lubin and Jack Kulkai and Tony Harris and Dennis Hogan, you know, these types of names sort of around the outskirts of the top 10 in the super welterweight division. But I've not really seen too much of him being promoted. I mean, as UK fight fans, we don't always tend to get to see all of the fighters like Ramos. But, you know, with someone at this stage of his career, 18 fights in, you'd be expecting that he would be stepping up this level. And for me, I'm not so sure that a fight against Luke Santa Maria is the step up that he needs. I mean, Santa Maria, you know, he's fought Devin Alexander just below, or just above, should I say, the welterweight limit at 149. But, you know, in his last fight, he was fighting back down at welterweight against Abel Ramos. So for me, he's a natural welterweight who's moving up to take this fight. And I think it's going to make Ramos look good, and it's going to start giving Ramos more of a shout to be up there in that sort of top 10 region and start calling for the big fights. Because we mentioned, when we talked about Charlo's victory over Castano, we mentioned how the super welterweight division's also coming to life a little bit as well. And it's names like this that need to be thrusted up there in bigger fights before we can actually start to really look at him and go, you know what, this guy is actually going to be a superstar. You know, he's got a lot of people talking about him, but for me, it's not enough because, you know, when we follow boxing the way we do and everything that we do for our pods, we don't really hear too much about him. So for me, he needs to be pushed out there. He needs a big fight. If he wins this fight, he needs a big fight. He needs a fight with a top 10 guy. It's the only way he's going to get put on the radar, by beating somebody maybe he's not expected to beat. So that is the third major fight on this card this weekend. So I am looking forward to the three major fights on the card this weekend. But Johnston, I know you mentioned off air to me, and I mentioned it at the top of the show, about Otto Wallin also fighting this weekend as well.
Yeah, Otto Wallin is back in the ring. He's fighting Rydell Booker, and it's up in Michigan. It's a Salita Promotions card as well, under Salita Promotions, a promoter that we spoke about in our sort of patrons only episode. So doing pretty good. And Otto Wallin obviously is one of his bigger names. And Rydell Booker, we like Wallin. We both do. I mean, we've both been appreciative of him since sort of the Tyson Fury defeat. And, you know, he's fighting a guy here, you know, he's 41 years of age, and he's been in there. I mean, if anyone remembers him, he's been in there with Hergovich, he's been in there with Pulev, he's been there with Jermaine Franklin. So he's had even James Toney, believe it or not, back in 2004. He's been around for a while, Rydell Booker, but you would expect Otto Wallin to be coming through this pretty convincingly, hopefully getting a knockout on his resume there. And, you know, I mean, he should be fighting better fighters than Booker, 100%. I do believe that. I think it's a bit of an easy one. I mean, he had an 8-rounder as well in February. He's back out sort of 3 months later. So I suppose they want to just keep him active and wait for those bigger fights. But no, he beat Dominic Brazil. I know Dominic Brazil wasn't a huge name, and obviously Wilder dispatched him, and Joshua did a bit later than Wilder. But, you know, after the Brazil fight, after Tyson Fury, really, he should be fighting bigger names. I'm hoping this is just an active fight. I mean, I'm expecting him to maybe get the rounds in and may even stop Booker. But yeah, it's not a huge fight. It's just the fact is you just want to see how Otto Wallin gets on, really. And you want him to be pushing on because he's a decent fighter, and he's definitely someone that can cause and pose problems for other guys in this division that are on that sort of contender status.
Yeah, I agree. I've always liked Otto Wallin. I've liked what he's about. I liked his fundamentals, his skill set. You know, he come up against a better guy in Tyson Fury. Give him hell. Let's not remember, he gave him hell. And to be fair, he was unlucky not to get that fight stopped and go in his favour, because the cut was so bad to Tyson Fury that I could quite easily have been stopped and gone to the card. So, you know, I think he's due a little bit of luck. He's due a little bit of, you know, recognition. And I think to get that recognition, they need to come past these activity fights, and they need to be looking at that top 10, and they need to be fighting a guy who has got a name. I mean, I would have preferred to have seen like Otto Volling versus a Chisora at this point, but it looks like Chisora's just, it looks like he's just signed to fight on the 9th of July against Adam Quinacke. And Adam Quinacke would have been a good fight for Otto Volling as well. You know, even Robert Hellenius versus Otto Volling, a Scandinavian super fight. You know, that would have been a huge fight in Scandinavia for them two, with them both coming from their countries respectively, Sweden and Finland. So, you know, why not make a fight like that? I think a Hellenius fight would be a good one for Volling going forward if he wants his career to progress a little bit quicker. But I am excited to see him. I do enjoy watching him. I do think it's a bit of a rollover fight for him though, so I'm not going to get overly excited. I get more frustrated when I see him in the ring against guys, and I think, you know what, you need to be stepping up, mate. You need to be pushing forward now, and you need your promoter Salita needs to be getting you these big fights. And you know, if he can't secure you these big fights, then you need to be thinking about who else you should be working with to get you these big fights, because otherwise your career is just going to go and surpass you, and you're going to end up being too old before you get these big fights, and your fundamental skills will have gone or diminished. So, you know, I think that's kind of my sort of...
Got a man.
Yeah, it's probably my rant of this week. I've not really done a rant of the week for a couple of weeks, but I think this is it now. When I think about Volling and I think about, you know, where he really could be at, and, you know, the type of fights he should be having by now, and I just think, you know, you're not getting the fights you need him now. So if he gets this fight, gets the win, moves on, and he fights a bigger fight later this year, I think I'll be a little bit more satisfied as a fan of Volling, you know, seeing him go on to fight these bigger fights and seeing if he can actually push his stock up there and being with a shout in the future of another title shot. So yeah, it's a relatively quiet week this week, Johnston, only obviously the major fights that we've spoken about, but it is the calm before the storm, because next week's big fight previews consist of like Nonito Donaire versus Naoya Inoue, Joe Cordina fighting for the IBF super featherweight title. So, you know, it is a little bit of a busier one next week. So apologies for it being a little bit shorter than usual, but we hope you've enjoyed the episode. I want to give a big shout out to the patrons of the podcast for supporting us as you always do. Your patron only episode is out there, The Boxing Promoters 2021-2022. Is out there. Please go and give that a listen. If you're not a patron and you're interested to see what other content that we do, please go and check us out at patreon.com/BTR Boxing Podcast Network. You can get access to series-based content early, patron-only content, ad-free episodes, even as far as commissioning episodes as well. Please do go and check us out on there. Now, if you've not followed us on social media, you can do that by following us at BTR Boxing Pod on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, and make sure you also subscribe to that YouTube channel. Even if you don't watch the YouTube videos of the pods that we put out on there, please go and subscribe to us. We're not too far away from that coveted 1,000 subscriber mark now, so please just go and subscribe on the YouTube channel. Even if you don't watch it, it'll be a massive help for us. That's it, fight fans. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week for all the big fight reactions and preview shows.
The dream is made real. Ricky Hatt rocks the world.
How do you like it? How do you like it?
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
It's over. Mamma mia, he's done it. Anthony Joshua defeats Vladimir Klitschko.
Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.